Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I'm your host for this show. We're on episode 141 and heading towards the end of 2017. But before the year is out, we actually got to go hang out at MIG-17. So that was a lot of fun, and I got an interview straight off the show floor for you as topic of the show. It's with Phil Rostang, the game designer of Floor Kids, an awesome b-boy breakdancing beat game. That's a lot of bees all at once. I hope I'm not popping in the microphone. But hey, it's a really fun game, and I really think you'll like this interview. But before we get into that, want to, of course, remind you we're on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, iHeart, and Spotify. So go subscribe to all those wonderful places so that we get all the hits. No, seriously, though, because you want to get the episode as soon as we record it.
We're on Spoofy all of that.
We're on Spoofy. We're on all the things, yo. All the things. Okay, you want to know who those voices are behind the microphone besides myself? I'm sitting with Catherine. How goes, girl?
Good. I'm finally getting in the Christmas spirit. I'm getting ready to bake up a storm.
Woohoo! That means chocolate for me. I am all right with that. Allie, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad.
Great. Simon, what's up?
Hello. I am here. I am alive, so it's good.
That is good.
It's a plus.
Have you all been playing all the games?
Yes.
Yes? All right, Simon. What games have you been gaming?
I've been playing, surprisingly, The Division.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Destiny kind of left me wanting more in terms of the loot shooter department.
Okay.
Or the FPS shooter, FPS loot department.
Okay.
A shooter with items and stuff. And basically, yeah, I don't know how to fucking say it. But I was reading a couple days ago. Well, no, actually a couple of weeks ago, a post on Reddit came up saying that, you know, The Division were getting the free December update and like all the stuff that they were giving out and all the stuff that was happening in the game. And I remember that I had a lot of fun playing the game when it came out. Like, I played close to, well, Uplay says 60 hours when the game came out, so, you know, it's a decent chunk amount of time played. And turns out that I, for $30, I had the base game plus all the DLCs and everything on Steam, so I'm like, you know, why not? So I got it. And I've been jumping back into it, and it's a lot of fun. It's a really, really, really fun game. So it's like, you know, the cover mechanics are really good. The shooting mechanics are really good. It feels a bit like bullet spongy at parts, but I'm still like really like barely scratching the surface when it comes to new content and everything that's been done. So yeah, I'm having a good time. And I'm gonna jump into Rainbow Six Siege whenever I it comes on special, because I don't have it, so eventually I'm gonna jump into getting it, because again, like, Operation Health is dropping soon, or it's dropped or something, and I've heard a lot of good things, and it's been on a steady increase of people, so it's my next shooter that I will jump into during the holidays for sure.
Pro tip, just wait for a free weekend.
Yeah, well, see, I missed it. It just happened like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, they'll
be sad because I missed it, but I'm probably gonna. I don't know. I'll find it again. I know. I might have the base game though. Like, I don't have anything else but the base game, but I might have it. So I don't know. I'll see what I can get. If I can find.
Nice, Allie. You've been playing some new stuff, it looks like.
Well, one new thing. Yeah, I've been diving into PUBG on Xbox.
What do you think?
I like it so far. I finally get it. I get the appeal.
I was watching my brother-in-law. Yes, but he's younger. But he's the son of my, I guess I can say this now, father-in-law's fiance. So, yes, but he was playing PUBG the weekend. And It was quite interesting. I much prefer watching that game. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I didn't watch all that much when it was available only on PC just because I really wanted to play it and I didn't want to like get more jealous the more I watched it. So I winged it. I think I've only watched like a few tournaments because friends were playing in them. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go out of my way to like check it out until it was closer to, you know, the launch on Xbox. But I finally get it. I get the appeal and I'm not obsessed with it. But I really do enjoy spending my time with it when I do play it. And I haven't played it much off stream at all. and it is in game preview. So, and it, you know, it's still in early access on PC as well. So the game has a long way to go, but oddly enough, the frustrations, and I mean, I've been DC'd in like the middle of really tense situations, like standoffs and stuff like that. Even though that's frustrating, it's not frustrating to the point where I never want to touch the game again. Like, I don't know. I found like it really struck a balance between being fun and being intense, but not to the point where I get like angry if I fail. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they worked that out really well because in watching Seb play, getting you back into the game is really quick after you die. It's not like you have to wait out everything. That's at least it seemed while I was watching him. It was
when you die,
fast.
You mean?
Yeah, when he got like killed and then he was out of the game and then he wanted to jump back into a new one, it didn't seem like it was a big chunk of time when you were playing.
Yeah, no, really no. Good. Like if you want to like, you know, cycle through games really quickly, it's really not a big deal. And they do have this neat feature that if you do DC during the middle of a match, you can rejoin it once you reboot the game if you're still alive.
Oh.
Which that is actually worked out pretty well. In some cases with me, I did come back and find myself huddled in a corner or whatever, which is very lucky. But no, I'm enjoying it a lot. And some people seem to be forgetting the fact that it's, you know, an early access game. But I already feel like I've got my money's worth. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm excited to see what changes and what happens the longer it's out.
Cool. And I see you're also playing Doom?
Yeah, I picked up Doom in the, well, I was actually, my fiance picked it up for me during that 50% off sale during the Game Awards.
Oh, nice.
And so I've been playing that little bit by little bit. It actually has been a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys have picked this up during these many episodes of the podcast, but I'm a very aggressive person.
No.
I
don't believe you.
I have a lot of anger in my small frame. So, I've been taking out a lot of my aggression in Doom. It does make me really nauseous, though. I don't know if anybody else, like, suffers from that. I get really nauseous when I get, like, motion sick when I play games. So I have to play in small bursts.
Well, I usually disable motion blur, which often is what causes me to get kind of sick. But you can turn that off, usually in most games.
I'll have to give it a shot.
Usually does it for me. I don't know if you can do it on Xbox, probably. I feel like it's an option that's pretty normal. So you might want to give that a try, because usually, yeah, that does it for me as well when that's on.
I'll have to give it a shot and see what I can do. I think I also just, I've been playing it at, you know, odd moments on an empty stomach and stuff like that. But I am really enjoying the game so far. It's beautiful. It's beautiful and it plays super smooth. So, yeah.
Good stuff. How about you, Catherine? What have you been playing?
Well, I quote-unquote finished Odyssey. I mean, well, I beat Bowser and I decided I was done playing. I had almost 300 moons, to be honest.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I tried to get more of the extra moons and then, you know, you have to run around and find Peach and things like that. And I was like, you know what, maybe later. So I gave the cartridge to Leah so she could play it. And when she's done with it, maybe I'll go moon hunting. But no, right now I'm like completely obsessed with Dragon Age Inquisition yet again. So I'm like, how I finished this game like 3 years ago and it's just such a great RPG that has a good mix of story, the characters, the gameplay. I mean, it's still a BioWare game, so there's still the usual BioWare problems. But I mean, completely engrossed, so I have to like get that out of my system, play the Trespasser DLC, which I've never played before, and I need to get it out of my system again. And I roped in my friend Alice into it, and we're both
obsessed. Oh my god, she's obsessed.
were obsessing. Like,
it's pretty crazy.
She rolled a female elf and she's romancing Solas and she doesn't know the story, and I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for her, but I'm like, this, it's the worst possible scenario.
Well, I mean, she just got it spoiled because she just said I think she just went freaking bonkers on Discord because I think something or another happened and she's like crying or freaking out or whatever. So definitely something. I don't want to spoil because I know
the story. I know who he is. And he's basically the bad guy of this whole story. Like, he's the reason there was a rift. He's the reason. Anyway, I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for you.
Don't trust bald elves. That is the moral of that story.
Yeah. Is this in general or just for that game?
I mean, I feel like in my very varied history, an extensive history reading fantasy novels, a bald elf is up to no good.
Yeah, usually, like, elves pride themselves in their beauty and their long hair, and that seems to be,
ain't
like,
no
a
got,
cliche.
Ain't no one gotta be bald. Ain't no one wanna be bald. So don't trust them when they are bald.
I mean, I've been playing enough RPGs in my life that the basic rule of thumb is just don't trust elves in general, to be fair. Like, it's so far, everything's been boned by elves.
Yeah, honestly.
Fuck elves.
Anyway, I decided, because the first time I played I romanced Blackwall, and again, spoiler warning, that one's a bit of a heartbreak. So this time around, I was like, I'm going to roll a male, and I'm going to romance Dorian, because he's sassy, and I thought he was really fun. And he's only available for Male Inquisitor as a romance option, so I did that. And now, as I get closer to Trespasser DLC, I have a feeling he's going to fuck off back to Tevinter and leave me behind. And I'm not okay with this.
Why do you have to have it heartbreaks?
I don't know. Why do I do this to myself? I play Dream Daddy. I obsess over the daddies. I jump back into Dragon Age Inquisition knowing the romances will fuck me up. Ah, fuck. Okay, after this, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Origins, all right?
I feel like it should be an option to, like, be a steady couple with, like, get 2.5 kids and just, like, settle in. And
from what I can tell, there are a few safe options, like Sarah or Cassandra, where you just, like, fucking get married at the end of the Trespasser DLC. And, you know, like, once I'm done with this playthrough, I'm going to go back and watch all the endings of all the romances. But, again, because I did for the base game, but never for the Trespasser DLC, which is basically the official ending of Inquisition.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, like, I let it toy with my emotions. I don't know, maybe it's because I've been in a steady relationship. I like the drama in games.
Probably.
So that's what I've been playing and obsessing and dragging Alice with me.
Yeah. She is not okay. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I know. And she was like, I'm going to romance Solas. I'm like, are you sure? Are you fucking sure?
Yeah, no, she's definitely not okay.
Anyway, that's that.
I like it. So yeah, so I stole your cartridge of Mario Odyssey and enjoying that. I made it to Lunch Lady Land, and that's what I'm going to be calling it from now on. And I feel like I should be singing. I should be asking someone, "Do you want some Sloppy Joes?" If anybody can get that reference, you're a 90s kid. What?
I'm not a 90s kid.
Catherine, do you get the reference?
I don't get it either.
I'm not sure I do. No, I'm sorry.
Maybe it's a Newfoundland thing.
What is
Billy
it?
Madison?
Oh God, Adam Sandler.
What is Billy Madison? Oh, is that an Adam Sandler movie? Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, I have not watched.
I've never been a fan of the Adam Sandler.
Me neither.
Oh, I know Lunch Lady.
Oh, I like Happy Gilmore because it's golf and that's Bob Barker in it.
Yeah. Yeah, good movie. So yeah, I've been playing that, enjoying it. We were having a discussion pre-podcast where I'm like, I told Catherine that I was this far, and she's like, wow, you're going fast. And I'm like, but I don't feel like I'm moving fast. I feel like I'm taking exactly the pacing that they gave us. But now that I know, because everybody else played it eons before I did, that, you know, there's ending one and ending two and the never ending because there's 999 moons. Yeah. So yeah, but I'm trucking along. I'm having fun, but I don't know if it's just easy or if it's really good game design that I'm, you know, moving so quickly. We'll see at the end. I also downloaded DLC for Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
fallen way back into love with that game. That game is so gorgeous, so beautiful. I love everything about it. And yeah, the DLC is just like reminding me of my romance with that game.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for the Game of the Year edition before I get it on Switch.
Like, oh, yeah.
With all the DLCs and stuff. That's 100% what I'm waiting for.
There you go.
I'll probably do the same.
Not a bad idea. And playing Floor Kids on the Switch as well, which, of course, is part of our topic of the show. So, yeah, I wanted more time with that besides just demos at events now that the game is released. So, yeah, it's lots of fun. Okay, I think it's time for some news. What do you guys think? You ready for news?
Super. Yep. The readiest.
All right, let's do this right after this break. It's that time of the week again. Time for us to talk about video game news. Catherine, what do you got?
I'm still excited about shows being made into video games.
Cool.
And it's been announced that one of my favorite shows ever will have an open world game, and that is Adventure Time!
Of all the TV shows in all the land, this one definitely deserves to be an open world game that could actually be super exciting.
Yeah, so it's called Adventure Time Pirates of the Enchiridion. Am I saying this right?
Yeah, I was saying Enchiridion or Enchiridion.
Anyway, and it says that characters Finn, Jake, Beemo, and Marceline are all playable, and you'll be able to roam freely in the land of Ooh. So I'm really excited about this because I've always wanted to know more and to explore the land of Ooh because I love this show so much. And it's coming spring 2018 to all the platforms.
Oh.
All
who's,
of
who's developing it?
Outright Games.
Who are they?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Fingers crossed they do a good job.
I mean, it's Adventure Time. And it got me to thinking that I need somebody to make an open world game based on Avatar, like The Last Airbender. I need this kind of, like, if you're going to make open world games about shows, like Adventure Time is a great choice, but Avatar is a better one.
Why do you think it's a better one?
The lore, the setting, the characters, like, you know, the bending, just the and how the nations are different.
The more possibilities to play with, more so than Adventure Time.
Yeah, and it's just a great, like, Asian fantasy setting. And you know, it's always been like, if you've watched Avatar as well as Legend of Korra, you'll know that it's never all that simple, and they have the four nations, but there's character development, there's politics. There's a bad guy that becomes a good guy. There was a good guy that was never a bad guy that played the bad guy to make sure that the bad guy that became the good guy could become a good guy. It's just amazing. It's got, that show's got everything.
That's the original one, right? Not Legend of Korra, right?
Legend of Korra is pretty good, but okay. Legend of Korra had something great to build on.
Uh-huh.
And it's different. It's more like the legacy of the first one. Okay. It's not a continuation. It's more like the world changes.
Oh. I'm honestly really curious. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Legend of Korra has like a really staunch fan following on like Twitter. Not Twitter, on Tumblr. Jesus Christ. Wow,
you're
I'm like,
that it's better?
Like, I'm totally fucking
it's Sunday
off
night.
Tonight.
It's Sunday night.
Yeah, like Tumblr loves Legend of Korra because I think it speaks to a very specific demographic. Mm-hmm. And it was a good representation of a lot of people.
I think that
kind of it spoke to a different subset of the Avatar community. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And also, I think because the first Avatar was such a success all around, like critical, commercial, everything, it was just such a success that when they did Legend of Korra, I think they had more leeway to add more diversity into it. Because already the first one, you had the blind girl, basically. You had Toph, which is blind. The
don't
two
spoil water... anything, okay? Because I will want to watch it eventually.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The two water tribe people, they're basically people of color. Then you have Aang, who's the outcast. And then, you know, it's just like... And there's no character that's defined by these traits. And in Legend of Korra, they were able to add, like, same-sex love and things like that.
Mm.
Because at that point, one, it was, like, years later, and it's like, get over it. And also because they could. They had that leeway. But essentially, like, it finishes with Korra. She has multiple romantic interests during the show, but the one she ends up with is a woman.
Oh.
So, and it's like towards the very end. But yeah, no, it's basically the way you see it is like Avatar the Last Airbender is more like the ancient era, where it's like more like, I guess medieval time or Renaissance or something like that. And then when they defeat the Fire Nation and they bring stability to the world, then when you're in the Legend of Korra, they're starting to have cars and things like that. It's more like an industrial revolution. So basically when you watch Legend of Korra, you're going into a world that is rapidly changing after a lot of forced stability. So there's a lot of things that you can bring, like, you know, like pre-world wars and post-world wars. You know what I mean? So
it's you seem very passionate about it.
It's great. I loved it. I've watched all of Avatar at least 3 or 4 times. I've watched Legend of Korra at least 3 times. They were on Netflix at one point. Now they're gone and I cry. but no, and I feel like I'm like, why? No video games yet. I'm like, why? They tried to make the live action movie, which was shit.
Well, I feel like it's probably something like they don't want to touch the holiness that is the show, you know?
I feel like they couldn't be able to do a good justice. I wouldn't play a game where it's like Korra and Aang. I would play a game that's in that setting.
Hmm.
I don't know who those are, but cool.
They're the two main characters. I know that much.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, how Shadow of Mordor is Lord of the Rings without it being Bilbo. And
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, that's what they need to do. That's what they need to do if they were to build a MMO Harry Potter game.
Yeah. Basically,
they just make it Hogwarts as the setting. And
well, they are doing that.
That's true.
Yeah.
But so that's what they have to do. It's not, you don't play as Harry. No, unless it's the Lego games. That's different.
You got to make your own persona. Like, how many fans would love, like, to have their own characters that they've created in these worlds that they love, but have it in a video game?
Yeah.
MMOs, man. They're one hell of a difficult thing to do, to pull off properly.
True.
They are,
which
and
is
they
kind
take
of
millions and millions and millions of dollars and a lot of years of development and talented people to make it work from the get-go. So it's
kind of glad why I'm glad that the mobile Harry Potter MMO ARG thing that's coming out is going that way. I think, you know, 10 years ago I definitely wanted a World of Warcraft style MMO, but realistically, I know that would not work.
Mm-hmm.
So glad to see it coming to life in another way.
Indeed. Cool. How about you, Simon? What do you got on the news front this week?
Yeah, well, we talk a lot about PUBG and Fortnite and all those BR games that are, you know, making a break for it in the market. So it turns out that I saw an article on Reddit. It was actually a couple days ago, but someone made a very nice video yesterday regarding this. It's actually over the past year, there's been some updates going on in the CSGO scene. So whenever they released a new update for CSGO, some very interesting items kind of slipped through the cleaning of stuff that would happen. And a lot of it seems to be in relation to a survival battle royale type of game mode. So a lot of people are speculating that Valve are working on their own battle royale / survivor type of game, and that it, you know, it would seem that it would use a lot of the assets from CSGO, so, you know, Source engine, all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was really interesting, because Like, we saw a couple, you know, we saw Epic trying to get into the battle royale genre, and, you know, Valve has been very vocal about trying to join on the tendency, you know, with the card game they're releasing and that kind of stuff. So it seems like it's something that they would do. And to be honest, if ever a game comes out, battle royale kind of mode, but with like CSGO smoothness or shooting skill and gameplay, that kind of stuff, I would be all over that stuff. Like that sounds like something that would be very, very interesting and very cool. So, yeah, I mean, it's all speculation right now, but I thought it was interesting to bring up to see that literally all the companies now are working on their own Battle Royale game. Even Valve are doing it, so that'll be fun.
Hopefully, it's a hot ticket.
Yeah, I would honestly hope that it would happen, because I would love to see them, how Valve could put their own twist on it.
Hmm. So no official word, just people trying.
Not
to
at all. It's definitely
Snoopy.
Just yeah, people like digging through the code of releases and stuff happening, saying yeah, that's named like literally named survival or named battle royale or named, you know, assets and file names that are probably never going to be in CS:GO that made their way into the update. So
it's amazing how people have the knowledge and the desire to go and hunt through these things. I was watching Game Theory about the Doki Doki Literature Club and like,
yeah,
let's
not spoil any of this.
No, I'm not. But it's just like people do the darndest stuff and know wickedest things to be able to like get that information. And I wouldn't even know to look. Do you know? Like, it's so impressive.
It's data mining is its whole like. Back in the World of Warcraft heydays, MMO Champion made its fame and fortune by data mining stuff that wasn't out in the game. You know, that's how the guy made his site and sold it for like a lot of money to curse later on. So, yeah, it's there's definitely a market for all that kind of stuff.
It's wild.
Yep.
Allie, what's going on with you in the news front this week?
Well, we got a little bit of disappointing news that Xavient, the developer behind The Culling, has officially terminated Xbox One and PC development, and no future updates have been planned for the game. So just to jog the memories of those who are not familiar with The Culling, it was a game who launched earlier this summer in game preview and has been in Steam Early Access for quite a while. It just recently launched fully. Left, you know, those green light programs, and is already being left behind, apparently.
I remember you were very excited about that game.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for the little time that I played it, until it got unplayable, essentially.
Gee.
What happened?
It just wasn't. First of all, the launch was completely botched. The servers were offline for I think it was about 3 days. People just struggling to get on. God. I mean, they are a small indie studio.
Okay.
So it was kind of understandable, but that first impression did not leave a good taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah.
And you know, with the rate that games are coming out nowadays, it's hard to come back from a launch like that.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I mean, the Battle Royale scene, as we've talked about before many times, is kind of inundated with titles right now. And I don't think that that's a reason that you should abandon your game. I think that should be, you know, the drive to push you towards creating something even better. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case, and it's not always possible logistically, financially, stuff like that. They've already moved on to a different game, a different title.
Well, maybe they had to make that choice. You know, it's a hard decision, but, you know, at least they knew that they got, instead of putting themselves more on the whole money-wise, trying to support it.
I totally understand that, but for people who only purchased the game a couple months ago?
True.
Kind of a slap in the face.
Mm. Was it an expensive one?
I believe I paid like $20-25 bucks for it.
Okay. Did you think you got your time with it, money's worth?
I don't think so. And I don't even know if I'd go back and keep playing it now until the servers go down, just because I know that no changes are coming and there's no, you know, no support for it anymore. So yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of disappointing to me because, I mean, we see this happen. We see this happen throughout a game's life cycle, right? But normally not this accelerated.
Yeah, this is pretty quick.
And I kind of feel like this might be setting a precedent for failure. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
Besides the launch issues, what else do you think kind of turned people off so that they didn't have it? Or do you think that it was just all of a sudden, with that botched launch, everybody mass exodus went on to PUBG and Fortnite, and then they were like, there's just too much competition, we're not gonna make it, we might as well, you know.
I really feel like it was that. I mean, the game itself too had a nice concept, you know. It was molded after a Hunger Games live battle royale game show sort of format, right? So there was like the announcer and everything like that. You've got the Darwin Project coming up, that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It already seems 10 times smoother, and it's just an alpha. Mm. And that's coming with Mixer integration, which is awesome. You know, that's a huge draw. That's a huge draw for a bunch of free publicity for their game. But yeah, I just feel like it was an unfinished game, and that kind of ended up biting it in the butt, even though it was in game preview, you know what I mean? Where like unfinished games are supposed to be. But I don't know. It's disappointing. And I think I'm going to be very careful in the future giving my money to Xavient.
Is there any rumor what they're working on?
No further updates or no more updates regarding the details of the next projects. But yeah, so
Simon's choking on his own laughter.
It'd be kind of funny if they came back and they're like, yeah, we've got, you know, another battle royale title, but
it's called The Culling 2.
I'm just gonna be careful with the studio going forward, because that just left a really bad taste in my mouth how quickly.
Don't pre-order games.
It wasn't a pre-order. It was game preview, and I've made it very clear that I am pro game preview and pro early, you know, not early access, pro game preview. And what's the one on Steam called?
Greenlight. Well, what doesn't exist?
Well, it was.
Yeah, but what's the program called now? God, I just said it before.
There's no.
You know what I mean? When games are not fully launched, but you buy them anyways.
Yeah, you're like backing them with a chance to help be part of the beta testing.
Early access.
No, that's not. No, that's exactly the wrong thing.
Oh my God. Fine. I'm sorry.
No.
Who are you saying is the wrong thing?
No. I'm just saying that's not what I'm trying to say. There's Xbox has the game preview program, and what does Steam call it?
Greenlight.
Is it still Greenlight?
It doesn't exist anymore. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah, Greenlight was to vote on games that they wanted to enter this program. Yeah. What's the program called of the games that are not?
I don't think they have one anymore.
Oh my God. They got to, because Subnautica is in it.
Yeah, I need to go look it up now.
Googling. Yeah, just an early access game. It's called Early Access. That's what it is. It's Early Access.
Okay, because there's Early Access in which you buy the game before it's released and you get access to beta. But I'm talking about this. Oh. Which is the, you know, you're buying the game and you're playing it.
I'm in Subnautica right now, and it says early access game.
Get out of Subnautica. We're working here, Simon.
I'm in the Steam store, and then you're like, yeah, it's just like Subnautica, and I'm on the Subnautica page, and it's such early access!
You can cut all of this. You can cut all of this.
No.
But what I'm saying is, I'm not anti-game access I'm not anti-game preview in other setups like that, but I just feel like this is a misuse of the program, and I think it was a slap in the face to people who bought the game.
Yeah, I mean, if the game had come out, no early stuff, if the game had come out and then got dropped 2 months later, everybody'd be livid anyway.
Well, that's exactly what it did.
Yeah, so that's essentially what you don't like. They just used it as like to help fund it, realized this wasn't going to work, launched the game and said, peace, I'm out, drop the
mic. Yeah, pretty much. And then, you know, I don't know. It tied me over until, you know, Fortnite and PUBG came out, and for that I'm thankful. But yeah, you're not going to be getting any more money out of me.
Hmm. You fool her once. Shame on you. How does that saying go?
I don't know. Fool me once. Next time I'm going to bop you in the head.
Yeah, okay, so let's don't avoid that. Don't fool a bit blunt.
No, don't.
It's not worth it.
I mean, the term early access, and we can have a whole debate on what it actually freaking means.
Well, no, because there's like...
It doesn't mean anything anymore.
It's ridiculous, because it does, like you said, it means nothing anymore, because they're using it in two different contexts, right?
Yeah.
Early access is like, on Steam, you're paying the full price,
uh-huh.
And you know, you're getting access to the full game, when it launches eventually, and then you can also play it in its current state. Whereas you've got games like, oh my God, there's an MMO that just did this like a couple of years ago.
If it actually launches, you know?
Yeah, I paid for early access. I paid $50. I got a beta code, and you know, I'll eventually, yeah, it's just, there's semantics, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's unclear, and that's why people are constantly flooding forums going, well, okay, but what does this mean? Like, I'm paying for this, but what do I actually get? Am I going to have to pay when the game actually comes out? Like, no one knows anymore.
Yeah, the problem is, too, there's only so many terms you can use, and the problem is everybody wants their own coin termed per operating system or whatever, per IP. So you've got like everybody trying to name it, but none of them are exactly the same, yet kind of mean the same thing, yet still have questions to be answered once you've dropped the money on a game that is technically not finished.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, man, it's almost like someone needs to sit down and make like a Venn diagram of like, if you do this, then in the Xbox world, then it means da 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 da. But if you're in the Steam world, it means da 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 da. Because it's confusing. It hurts my head.
Yeah, the whole DayZ thing really left a bad taste in my mouth when it comes to early access, and even PUBG to some extent. You know, it's, I feel like it. Or the term early access shouldn't apply for at least PUBG. Like, there's no way the game's early access. I'm sorry, your game is finished. You're just constantly working on it, which is something that you should be doing as a game developer anyways. So I don't know. I feel like the term doesn't mean anything anymore.
Especially when they're games as service, like these games are.
Yeah, exactly. It's lost all this meaning. So whatever. Yeah. I mean, if it looks good, buy it. But the game early, the term early access does not mean anything anymore.
Yeah, realize that you're taking a gamble.
Be smart as a consumer. Educate yourself.
We should make that like a thing, a meme, mm-hmm. with that voice, because you said that in like a very specific radio tone.
Did
then
I?
That
no.
sounded pretty, yeah,
like, yo, last
like
Saturday,
PSA kind of deal.
Last Saturday someone kept saying I had a good radio voice,
but you do have a good radio voice.
I don't think I do.
You do.
I don't understand.
All right, listeners, holler at us on Twitter at The Girls on Games and join Kat, Ali, and I saying that Simon has a very good radio voice. Please.
Oh,
please
Jesus
do.
Christ.
Please do.
And have an ugly ass face, at least have a good voice.
Holy cow. All right. We're getting out of this before we start digging further.
Yeah, we're not going down this spiral.
We're going to topic of the show, okay? Topic of the show this week is an interview with the game designer from the Beat Game Floor Kids, which is a breakdancing and, you know, b-boy style game that's on the Switch, on iOS, everything. And Phil is here to tell us all about the process of developing that. So that's coming up right now. All right, so we're on the show floor at Migs, and I'm sitting across from Phil, who is the game developer of Floor Kids, an awesome b-boy, b-girl style beat game where you get to, you know, show off some pretty fly moves.
I could not have described it better myself. That is the game.
Awesome.
I think we can wrap the podcast.
There we go. Interview done. Yeah. No, really though. We've been seeing your game for probably the past two and a half years through different iterations.
Yeah.
Got drawn in because of not just the fact that you're working with awesome musician King Koala for the music,
yes,
but the animation style is dope.
Thank you. It's been a long process, and for sure it's been very fun to see you guys reacting to the game over the past few years and get excited, and that's been sort of really fun for us too. But yeah, the game's been in development for 3 years at least.
Wow, okay.
And originally, first started as a mobile project. Actually, it was going to be for mobile, because 3 years ago, the Switch didn't even exist.
That's very true.
And that was one of the original intentions of the game, was to make a breakdancing game that felt very tactile, that sort of made you feel like you were dancing. So we had this whole touchscreen-based control system developed, and you know, the game was all done with, which was the original concept of the game, was to make a breaking dancing game with hand-drawn animation. So the story behind that is that John, our animator, the guy who drew all the animation, did all the animation in the game, used to be a b-boy. He still dances. He doesn't like to call himself a b-boy, but he still does b-boy. And he created these characters actually years ago as doing short films, just animating them. He was doing short animation films with these Floor Kids characters. And from there, him and Kid Koala, because they were friends, decided to make the game, and the project kind of just went from there. So 3 years ago about, they started doing the development. We started developing on mobile. And essentially for the first couple years, that's what we were doing. But then we had the chance to meet reps from Nintendo. They got interested in the game, and it just kind of went from there. And for us, it made sense to go on the Switch. You know, it's, we all love the console. We all love a Nintendo. It was, you know, it's a more interesting market for us. We feel people might respond more. When we were on mobile, you know, we were very hesitant about making the game free to play because we didn't necessarily want to do that. That also requires a lot of resources. We're like, do we go free? Do we go premium? Back and forth. Switch kind of simplified a lot of those decisions for us. Just a simple little game, not too expensive. You get to play through all, you know, the game with the characters and then all locations and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been kind of a long road getting here. Part of that has also just been, you know, the time it took to do the animation, to figure out the animation systems, to develop, you know, a game where each character is like 1,000+ frames of animation to get all that loaded into the game. There's lots of technical hurdles, the design hurdles of just designing a game that's not, you know, you don't have a lot of b-boying games. So
no.
Yeah, it's we kind of had to come up with a lot of mechanics and stuff ourselves. But we're pretty happy with the results so far, and response has been good, so we're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, it's a fresh take on the whole beat concept, and like we, I haven't seen anything quite yet on the Switch that's more been a rhythm beat game, and then just to bring the dance element into it is a whole new fresh take on that. That's what I love about it, and the added aspect of the hand drawn just adds that flair that, you know, break dancers have when they dance anyway, right?
Sure.
Like their own style.
Absolutely.
And super approachable.
It's, you know, a lot of people are interested in the game just because they see an image or they see a clip and the style is so different from anything else that they are attracted to it right away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a big testament to John's animation style. And you know, all the characters, all the animation in the game is very sketchy. And that's the way he draws. And that's something we wanted to keep in the game, to really be his very personal style and very different from anything else that you'll see. So that automatically draws people in. Beyond that, you know, no, there's definitely not a lot of breaking games. We can safely say, I think, that this is the only breaking game done with hand-drawn animation. I think that's a first. So we're pretty happy with that. But, you know, the last game we can think of that's a breaking game was B-Boy on PS2, on PS Vita, like 10 years ago, I think. Maybe a bit less, a bit more. You know, there has been a couple of games on mobile, but they weren't really games, or, you know, they were sort of very simple apps, so they didn't really necessarily count. And, you know, there's Breaking, I think it was called, or it's called Break, this old game in 1984. You know, so the list of b-boying games is very, very limited in the first place. And so, you know, we wanted to make a b-boying game, but there weren't necessarily a lot of references that we could look at in that sense. So we did. We looked at that. We looked at a lot of rhythm games, a lot of music games, a lot of dance games. You know, you were talking about the Switch. There's Just Dance. There's another, I forget the name right now, but it's basically just like a little rhythm game where you're tapping, you know, rhythm icons on screen, that kind of thing. So we used a lot of those references to see what's done, you know, what works, what doesn't. But ultimately took little pieces here and there to make our own kind of hybrid game. Which, you know, we describe it, it's a breaking game, you know, that's what it is, but we describe it as a bit of a Tony Hawk of breaking, just because, you know, in the mechanic, you can do any move at any time, and it's really just about scoring as many points as you can, racking up combos, and doing the best move just to score points, so kind of that same logic as Tony Hawk, but it has some rhythm elements, it's a dance game, it's two characters, you know, when you're doing two-player battles, it's two characters, one of in front of each other, battling, so there's almost like some fighting game elements. That which we looked at as well, just in terms of, you know, UI and communicating different mechanics and stuff to the players. So we looked at a lot of different games, a lot of different game genres to sort of inspire and use references for what we could do in terms of game design. But we really had to come up with our own thing and our own ideas. And I think everyone on the team is happy with how all the ideas came together to make the game.
Very cool. Yeah. And for you, as a game designer developer, what challenges does this type of a game pose for you?
Innumerable challenges. No, I mean, all fun challenges, but as a game designer, you know, what I just said was one of the big ones. The fact that there aren't a lot of references. You, this isn't like doing an RTS. You could look at a million different RTSs to see what they've done and what you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, sometimes it felt like we were designing a bit in the dark, you know, until we actually got to test it or to sort of put in front of players. Just being like, okay, well, we think this mechanic works and we think this mechanic is fun. But a big challenge that we imposed on ourselves, but that was very important, was also we wanted to make sure that the game was authentic to the dance, to breaking, to how to the philosophies in breaking culture, to how battles are actually judged and scored, how, you know, we wanted the player to be making decisions as they're dancing that are similar to the kind of decisions that a b-boy or b-girl would be making on the dance floor when they're actually doing the routine. You know, do I follow up with this move? Do I combo into this move? Do I transition into this? So using or trying to reproduce that kind of experience through a game was a challenge, was something we really had to figure out kind of from scratch. And sometimes we did something and we thought it worked well for us, but then we had no idea if it would work well for players, if they'd like it. So it's been a nice validation to see the really positive response we've had so far. And yeah, but at the same time, it was a really fun challenge. Like, as a designer, I had a lot of fun just trying to figure out how to make this work. And okay, we want to let players, you know, do their own thing, but we still want to give them some goals and some challenges. And how do we mix that? So yeah, it was, you know, the idea of coming up with new things is very interesting for me as a designer. And so there was plenty of that in this game.
So the game's been out for a week.
Just about five days.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What's it been like? What's the reception been?
It's been super positive. It's been, you know, we came out, we've been working on the game so hard, you know, until the last minute to make sure it's really as polished as we can. But the response that we've had so far has been really, we're very, very happy to see that all the comments, at least that I've seen so far, have been either good or great. Like, people either like it or people love the game. Which has been super encouraging, super validating. I'd like to tell the story. Sunday night, I was at home, and I'm just checking out YouTube because I'm subscribed to a bunch of channels. And I follow this one channel that's a lot of Rocket League tips.
Yeah.
I play Rocket League a lot, and it's like tips and strats. And then all of a sudden, this guy posts a Floor Kids video.
Amazing.
And I'm like, what?
You didn't know? Just surprised?
I was totally surprised. I had no idea that he was going to do
that. That's
awesome. Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, we've had a few streamers that have picked it up who are really, really enthusiastic about the game, too. Like, you know, we'll watch their videos and we'll see their feedback. And we can see just their comments are really good. Every single streamer that I've seen so far play the game bobs their head, like, as they're playing.
Oh, like, I was totally grooving.
Everybody
grooves. I was standing and I was totally dancing along. You can't not.
I think that's going to be a new challenge, is play Floor Kids without bobbing your head up and down.
Impossible.
I think it's impossible.
Everyone's going to lose. It's like those ones where you try, like, the dad joke game. You try not to laugh.
Sure.
But everybody's going to fail at this one. Everybody's going to keep bopping
exactly.
along.
Exactly. It's even harder than that. Yeah. No, and that's been super, super encouraging to see. And already getting good feedback from the community. They're, you know, they've been letting us know when we have a little bug here and there. They've been suggesting features and stuff like that. That's part of the game.
Yeah. You know,
that's sort of being in touch with the community. And the enthusiasm we've had from that has been really, really good. We're super happy as well to see a lot of the enthusiasm in the breaking community. B-boys and B-girls who see the game, who play the game, really are having super positive reactions. They love the way it feels. They love the way it plays, which, for us, that's the greatest validation sort of that we could have asked for. You know, if breakers like this game, we did it. Like, we made it. You know, and even seeing some of them say, like, oh, I'm going to buy a Switch for this game. That's like, wow. Like, thank you. Like, this is, you know, we couldn't ask for anything more. So, yeah, so far it's been really, really good. We're just hoping to keep the momentum going. And, you know, we have a lot of plans still for 2018 as well. So just keep, you know, that going, get people to talk about it more and more. But
yeah.
Just in terms of the quality of the feedback we've had, we're surprised at how positive it is, and we're just super happy about that.
That totally leads into my next question, was
awesome.
what the game plan is next. Like,
sure.
What do you guys keep pushing this? Do you have DLC plans? Do you have, you know, more tracks?
Yeah, absolutely. So no official plans in terms of official releases or dates, but definitely Kid Koala has already talked about it, that he's planning on doing more tracks. So new locations in the game that would have new tracks. That's definitely something that we're looking at. Again, you know, all the music in this game is done. It's original music by Kid Koala. I know that he's looking at maybe collaborating with other artists.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So it'd be Kid Koala and, you know, a rapper or something like that. And they do original tracks for the game. So again, a lot of this stuff is still in the works, but we're really hoping to possibly announce that officially soon, and definitely something that we're keeping in mind for 2018. And, you know, just to follow up on Kid Koala, he also announced officially a concert tour for Floor Kids.
Oh, wow.
So in April. Yeah, I think April or May, early April, I think, he is going to be doing a tour in about 18, 20 cities, I think, including Montreal, Toronto.
Amazing.
A lot of cities in the States, where it's his Vinyl Vaudeville tour, which is a tour that he already has, but it's themed on Floor Kids. So it's going to be him playing, you know, music from the game, with game paneling in the background. Maybe we'll have some dancers there, you know, part of it as well. And that's, yeah, that's part of sort of the plan to keep spreading the, you know, the word, the sort of getting the word out for Floor Kids and just, you know, getting people excited. And we're hoping to combine that with some content releases in the game as well, ideally.
Very smart. Yeah. And I can totally see this being a sort of like a, you can have competitions with it as well.
We are definitely, definitely keeping that in mind. And that's definitely something we would like to have. Yeah. And already we're listening to a lot of feedback from players and from the community. You know, a lot of them are asking if we're going to do online multiplayer, leaderboards, that kind of thing. That's definitely something that we're getting requested a lot. So I think that's going to be pretty high on the priority list. You know, things like replay function as well. So you can just record a video of your dance and see how that looks and share it with your friends.
Yeah, especially since Nintendo just integrated the whole share
exactly,
side
right?
of things.
Yep.
So, yeah, it makes total sense. Yep. Yeah, oh, this is super exciting. I'm so happy
Thank
for you.
You
guys. I'm like, it's so amazing to see a game. Like, I know you guys are in it all the time, but for us to come back and see the progress all the time and then when it launches and then the success it gets and just seeing these amazing ideas come into fruition.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. No, absolutely. It's been great. And, you know, we really appreciated like the enthusiasm that you guys have shown for the game from the beginning. It was like, it's really nice to see. And we're always happy when people get excited about the game. And we appreciate Girls on Game sort of being supporters of Floor Kids.
No
and, you
problem.
Know, yeah, we love you guys. Really, guys, it's awesome. And yeah, we're just, yeah, hoping to keep this momentum going. And you know, just people seem to be getting pretty excited about it. And so we'll keep the Floor Kids things going and you know that's really the idea. The game just released, but we have lots of things hopefully planned for to keep this momentum going, to keep people excited about Floor Kids and to definitely look at you know, the competitive side already with our two-player mode. You know, when you get two players who are good, like within the dev team, you know, that's some pretty intense matches in there. So we're, yeah, I think that's something that we're going to want to push as well and sort of add more features to develop that aspect of the game for sure.
Awesome. Well, congratulations and thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me. I'm sure you need to get back on the floor and
no worries.
Let
Thank
people
you,
play
Leah.
Some more of the game.
Yes, absolutely. So a few people seem to be enjoying the game, so we'll get back to them. But thanks. It's really our pleasure. Really my pleasure to chat with you. And thanks for taking the time to talk to Floor Kids.
And it's that time of the week, time to close out the show. Of course, I want to thank our wonderful web hosting partner, Fun.io. If you want a large website hosting with VPS, something super secure like that, that'll handle all the people coming to your site. Or maybe something a little smaller because you got a WordPress blog and you're just getting started, you know. Go check them out at Fun.io. Stream team, it's holidays. Lots of people jumping back on the stream schedule. Maybe
Leah,
a few days
when are
off.
You streaming, Leah?
Hopefully this week. Fingers crossed.
Yes, we want
I have
to
vacation,
see
vacation coming, so I'm ready.
Yeah.
I got to clean up my space right now because it's full of wrapping paper.
Full of, okay, wrapping
you,
paper.
You can't see it, but there's wrapping paper all around me, autour de moi. So,
amazing.
So yeah, that's what's happening. But of course, girlsongames.tv, right?
Mm-hmm, that's the one.
Yeah. Catherine, what's going on the website?
The biggest thing you need to know about girlsongames.ca is right now we have the survey where you can vote for your
yes.
game of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, how's that going? I haven't checked in a while.
It's going pretty good. But if you haven't voted yet, you have until December 22nd, I think, before we tally and we make our year-end episode. So
that's right.
You still have time. I know the list is epic long.
Yeah.
It's alphabetical, though.
Okay, who voted for Destiny 2? And I will come and I will kill you.
Anyway,
it's anonymous.
Pro tip, you're looking for Breath of the Wild anyway.
Yeah, Control so, F Zelda.
Yeah. Control F, Command F.
Holy crap.
And find it and vote for it.
It is leading
guys,
the way.
Guys, there are a lot of games out this year. And yeah, but it's been an impressive year. We're getting into it next week when we start the whole year in review stuff. But, like, 2017's been a good one. So there's a reason why that I couldn't, like, that list is that long.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. It's not Zelda.
You guys are never going to guess what I voted for.
Is it Destiny 2?
No, it's not.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah, well, I guess we're gonna have to wait and see.
I feel like I'm gonna go with my second favorite game, just so and not everyone says fucking Breath of the Wild.
Well, you guys know how this works. We talk about our top three, so we go you know, round table. So you know, be prepared. You know, be prepared. You better do your research.
And actually, my second choice wasn't on here.
Did you add it? Because
no, I
did my best. You can add them at the bottom if I needed to.
Leah,
what?
I'm a busy person.
Okay, well, talk to the hand, okay?
Wow.
It took me 30 years to go through the list as it is. No, I'm just joking. No, I just placed my vote. So. You guys just reminded me. So, actually, speaking of voting, Leah, I'm going to hijack this for a second.
Do it!
Cat. You were talking about the Adventure Time open world game. Well, did you know that you can actually go to Outright Games' website and vote? And like it's a contest actually, but I assume that we'll then go to a voting to pick the name of Finn and Jake's boat in the game.
Are you kidding? I missed that when I read the story.
Well, it wasn't in the story. I added it in the show notes, and I even highlighted it, but you didn't look at it. So, poo-poo on you.
Oh snap!
Okay, it's right there in pink.
Name our boat. So, okay, sorry.
Everybody who's listening, I'm not saying you should go to the website and name it the you know, Girls on Game Boat, but I think maybe
imagine
just be like the GOG boat or like Girls on a Boat, and we'll know what you're saying. Pick one of those series and go with it. And if we win, then I'm just gonna give you all your high fives.
You know what's going to end up being like one of those? What do they put all these like public vote up for different
oh
names?
Oh my gosh. One's like Britain.
Floaty McFloat Float or something like that.
No, it was Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. Bodie McBoatface.
Imagine. That's what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because they're not going to put any swears in there. So it's going to be something dumb like that.
Bodie McBoatface. Wow. So don't get too excited about the I was looking at Outright Studios, their extensive list of work, and they did the Ben 10 action game a couple years ago, and it's looks tough. So yeah, don't get too excited about that.
But it's like they work on a lot of licenses.
I think
they're just
by like, a lot you mean one, then yes, definitely.
No. I mean, our team have worked on some big licenses, including Adventure Time, How to Train Your Dragon, Barbie.
Oh, okay. Released one game, so let's
God, Simon, ye of little faith.
Yeah, I'm pulling an alley and not trusting anyone today.
Well, I would like to say that I don't think that what is it? What owns Adventure Time? Is it Cartoon Network?
Yeah, yes. Cartoon Network.
Yeah, they're not going to give it to somebody who's not going to do good things with it. So
is it Cartoon Network that does Robot Unicorn Attack?
No, that's Adult Swim.
Yeah, okay. Adult Swim. It's very different. Well, I mean, Adult Swim is on the Cartoon Network, but it's just not.
It's the adult programming of Cartoon Network.
Okay.
So as in Cartoon Network is stuff that you can actually show your kids. Mind you, Adventure Time starts with Bubblegum Princess wanting to bring back her dead subjects to life and bringing on a zombie apocalypse.
Which, you know, any respecting princess would do.
Show for kids, people. Show for kids.
Why didn't Princess Peach do that when she got kidnapped?
Princess Peach is a dum-dum.
Yeah, I was going to say, cause she's kind of a dumb broad.
Bubblegum all the way. PB is my princess.
All right, with that, I think it's time to thank everybody who's on this digital table with me and ask their social media so you can go holler at them and tell them whether or not you think this Adventure Time game is going to be any good. Catherine, how can people track you down?
If you want to at me about this game, I am CSDESBINS, CSDBIN on Twitter, Instagram, and most gaming platforms. And I am, You can find me on Origins and see just how much I'm playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
Don't leave me, Dorian! Allie, how about you? Hopefully something a little more peppy than that.
What am I supposed to be doing?
Telling me your social media.
You can find me as 8BitBlonde pretty much everywhere on the internet, including Xbox Live and Mixer and Twitter. And while I have your attention, go see Star Wars The Last Jedi.
I'm going to.
No, well, not just you, but everybody listening. Don't listen to your friend that's bitching about it. Don't listen to the internet. Go and enjoy yourself.
But I thought the internet awesome said it was good.
No, the internet are being a bunch of whiny bitches about it, because that's what the internet does. But don't. Go enjoy. Be a child again. Hug some porgs. Just do it. I'm going to see it for the second time this week because fucking awesome.
Nice. I liked your outfit, by the way.
Bam. Oh, thank you. It's fucking comfortable as fuck.
When I saw those leggings, I was like, hold up, is that camouflage with Millennium Falcons in
it? Yeah, it has like the Rebels symbol and everything. It was
very nice. How about you, Simon? Where can we track you down?
I am GOG Simon on Twitter, and I don't wear nice leggings, so
sorry. Wait, I just thought of a joke.
What?
Go ahead.
My my tights make me look kind of fly like a Jedi.
Very nice. Very cat's nice.
Face. Cat's face right now. I think I just killed her.
I can't.
That should have been my caption on Instagram.
Go update your one now. You could probably repost it. Just take a picture with you wearing the tights.
I will. I actually got something else from that collection, but I'm waiting to unveil it. It's an awesome clothing line. So yeah.
Very nice. I am Leah Jew, our most social media platforms. Simon, did you finish?
What?
Your social. I don't remember.
Yes, I did. Then Ali rudely interrupted me saying she had a joke, but I had finished
saying. I love you, Simon.
Mm-hmm. I'm Leah Jewer on most social media platforms, but you can find me as GOG Leah on Xbox Live and on Mixer, and hopefully I'll be getting back to that stream scene super soon. But of course, you want to know about Girls on Games. So you can track us down on Facebook and Twitter at The Girls on Games. We are just Girls on Games on Instagram. Discord.me/GirlsOnGames for all your continuing talk about video games and The Last Jedi and cats and dogs.
We have a spoiler chat.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
We do. I'm not going near that thing until I see this movie.
Tread with caution.
But with all that being said, if you ever need to know anything at all about Girls on Games, podcasts, you know, articles, social, all that jazz, it's on our home base. That's girlsongames.ca. So thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon. Thank you for listening. It's been a wonderful week. I hope you started eating your cookies and celebrating all your holiday festivities. I know I got holidays coming up, so I'm going to be playing lots of video games, and I'm super stoked about that. So time to go do that right now and get some more moons. Mm-hmm. It's time. All right, that's another week in the bag. Talk to y'all soon.
Bye.
Bye.